Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come to you every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and whatever that translates out to in your part of the world. Because we do find that we are able to reach people around the world with this broadcast. What we do here is we focus on people, places, and events that primarily affect Black life in the world, primarily in the United States. But this is not a program only for Black people. The reason is we are a team. We are a country. And the diversity to our advantage. But we are not taking full advantage of that opportunity because we're not aware of what many of our citizens have done. And it's by exclusion. Many of the people that we need to be looking at as team members are not included in our history. We don't benefit to the full extent of role models. And we've got examples of that. Now, we're going to be talking about 31 amazing women that probably should all know. And we're going to be talking about this Ashango bone, which was discovered in Central Africa 18 to 20,000 years ago. We see the pyramids, and they date back 3, 4, maybe 5,000 years. And so we're talking about 10,000 years plus before that, an indication that there was mathematical knowledge in Central Africa. And Central Africa should be a part of our focus because it indicates that it wasn't something that just washed up on shore. As the world has developed, matured, we find that people have traveled around the world. And there is no reason to believe that every indication that we see is that life started in Africa. And it migrated all around the world. It migrated into Asia, Europe, the Americas, Australia, and some of these are not continuous land masses in which people could walk. So there is some evidence that people were able to use other forms of transportation to get to different parts of the world. So it should come as no surprise. But what we see is a concerted effort to distort or completely hide these facts. These facts could be used to greatly enhance the teamship that should be apparent in any place, in any person. We're not trying to tear down anyone, but what we're saying is that there is no one to be left behind. We see so many times in our history that events, and if you go to amazingblackhistory.com, you will see 300 examples where this has taken place. Many of them are surprising to the citizens of the United States what was taking place in America. When I first started amazingblackhistory.com, I was primarily concerned with only those outstanding contributions that had been made. And still, they were covered up. You had to dig. You had to look under everything that you could find in order to do this. And so many people today are not aware of this deep, rich history because we don't know where to start. We don't know where to look. We don't know what we're looking for in many cases. And we have this happening. For example, when I was several decades ago, I considered myself to be educated because I had gone through the South Carolina public schools, graduated from high school, gone to college and studied there, and was working as a professional person. I was a chemist, and I was working with some highly classified materials. So I was what I thought the apex of where things were taking place. And it wasn't until I discovered that there was a treasure, a treasure trove of information that had been hidden from me. And I felt betrayed. I felt alone. I felt a sense of loss because of these omissions. And I began to look. I began to study. And fortunately, I didn't start this journey until an accidental visit to California. And I went to the site of Sutter's Mill in Coloma, in El Dorado County, California. Now, much of this is foreign information to me because I usually look at a state. I don't look at the counties. I don't look at the cities except for the large metropolitan areas. And we're sometimes left in the dark because of this. And what I discovered at that time is that in the 1840s, now understand this is before the Civil War, my knowledge basically told me that all blacks had come here as enslaved people. And by omission, they were all in the South picking cotton. They had no forward thinking. They had no ambition. They were lacking in educational skills, everything that is necessary for a productive society, we're lacking. This is what I was told. But this is not what I found. And there has to be a reason for it. And I think that it goes back. In fact, it does go back to, I believe, the 1500s when Gomez de Azusa was paid to write derogatory information about Africa. Why? Because then the people from that place could be extracted and the white people could look like saviors, that they were being so benevolent to them. There was a time when the slave owner said, we're the best thing that's ever happened to black people because we feed them, we clothe them, and we benefit greatly from that labor. And so they did everything they could to continue that institution. This is the motive behind not revealing. When slaves were freed, and yes, some were freed, and some were never enslaved their entire time in America. Understand that. Some were never enslaved in this country. And we find that in order to maintain the institution of slavery, omission was necessary because you didn't want people to have intelligence and be enslaved. And so there was a lot of brutal acts that took place. There was a lot taken to control people. Many people are not aware of the fact that many places passed laws that if you went to church, you had to take guns with you. You had to be armed. Why? Because they knew that the slaves could figure out that when you weren't there was the time to run away. There are so many depictions that we have of slaves that are humbled to be in the master's presence, that if somebody asks, do you have a good master? The answer was yes, because if word got back to the master that you didn't think he was a good master, you could be beaten. You could be killed. It was a matter of survival. And what has then been convoluted and passed forward is the fact that we were so happy in slavery, that we didn't have anything that we could give. They did not teach us more than rudimentary fundamentals of language. But as we look back, we find that blacks have mastered languages. When I was in South Africa, I was amazed because most people there spoke three, four or more languages. South Africa itself, which is a country, not the entire continent, but a country of South Africa where I was on my first trip to Africa, has 11 official languages. How do they function? I went to the schools. I went to the elementary schools. I went to other schools. And I found that what they do is when a child comes to the school, they find the language that that child speaks. They put that child with another child that speaks that language and English. And therefore, the person learns English. It's almost a baptism of fire. But these young kids take to it like a duck to water. They do it. They understand it. And they prosper. But many of us don't know how good these kids are. When we look at even some of our founding fathers, we talk about Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin was under the impression that blacks had nothing to contribute. His wife worked at a school with black kids, and she encouraged him to come and see. And when he left, he was of the opinion that these students were as good or better than any other students he had seen. Why? Why then would you want to keep this under wraps? You keep this under wraps because you want to keep those people in a position of being subservient to you. And why do you want that? Because you can make tons of money off of them. It's a matter of greed. But when we look at only the accomplishments, we don't understand how great they are because they are many hazards, there are many faults, there are many negative things that come up to prevent people from even getting to the level of other people in this country. And we have demonstrated all along that we are much more benevolent. One of the reasons that we have public schools today is because upon Reconstruction, right after the Civil War, and we had the right to vote, the black people that we voted in put in and started public schools for all children, not just the black kids. This benevolence betrays us. It deprives us of some of the best people that speak to the term we the people. We the people. When we look at our Supreme Court, for example, three of the nine justices ever attended public schools. And only one out of nine ever took a case of a defendant. Now, this is supposed to be representative of America. But yet we have a bunch of elitists that are sitting there. That being said, let's move to this Ishango bone. We are deprived of the fact that Africa is a cradle of education, a cradle of civilization, much the opposite of what is portrayed to us. We have been instrumental in educating the world. Because if you read the writings of ancient Greeks and Romans, this is where they sent their scholars. Ancient Greek and ancient Roman scholars were sent to Africa for education. Is this what you've been told? No, it's not. But when we look at places like Timbuktu, a funny sounding name, but it was a city of well over 10,000 people. And of those 10,000 people, over 25% were either teachers or scholars. Teachers or scholars. And what we get back are messages like Tarzan. A white man had to come in and control the animals and do everything else. When you find that much of what we share here originated in Africa and migrated to other places, I'm not saying that we're better, but we're certainly no worse than anybody else. This is why the program is a program for all people. We want to make that connection. There are people of all races that could benefit by having different points of view. We make a lot of ballyhoo over thinking outside of the box. Outside of the box, which just means looking at it with different eyes, looking at it with fresh eyes. If everybody has the same upbringing and the same knowledge, it seems and would often stand to reason that they can do anything. But sometimes it's a different point of view that gets us on the road to discovery. That gets us on the road to discovery. We're talking about mathematics, and we have seen many, many, many cases of that later, and we will return to that. Now, let me give you some information here, and I hope to do it through the show. Sometimes I get so excited that I forget to do this. Those of you that are listening on your devices, God bless you. We love you, because the primary intent is to get the information out. However, if you wish to interact with us, such as with comments, questions, voice disagreements, whatever, you need to be on the phone call, because I can see you on my dashboard here. I do not see all of those on devices that are listening, but those that call in, I can. And let me give you that number, and I want you to keep this number, because not only does it work on this program, it works on all programs on Crown Talking Drums. And that number is 646-668-8217. Again, that number, the area code being 646, and the phone number itself being 668-8217. I'll give it to you again later during the program, but write that down. It's not necessary that you do that, but oftentimes it enhances the conversation. This is not intended to be merely a one-way conversation, because I learn things. I have people contact me about different stories. And remember, part of the difficulty in understanding the true nature of what we're speaking here is by sharing this information. When Dr. Carter G. Woodson started Negro History Week many years ago in 1926, it was with the understanding that we would study Negro or Black history all year long. And we would use that week to share the information that we had learned. As it did not work as it is intended to, it's still to some extent not working as it is intended to. But I find information all around me, and I'm thankful every day for people that provide me with information. Many of us have heard stories and may have come from close friends, family, relatives, and others. And we didn't believe it because we didn't see it in the book. We did not see it in that history book. We did not see it in our science book. We did not see it anywhere that we looked. But believe me, there are significant advances that have taken place that have involved people of color, people of African descent. And it has happened well into the entire length of history of the United States. In fact, it started before the United States was a country. But when we look at objects like Egypt, and we see the advances, the pyramids, and we're still debating how were they built. We don't publicize the fact that there are pyramids in America, in the United States of America, in the Americas, North, South, Central America. We do not do that because we don't want to destroy that myth that has taken so long to perpetuate, that we didn't have self-direction. We didn't have motivation. We didn't have knowledge. We weren't even capable of learning it. But what we do is we find, and we sometimes disregard information that could shed light that's important to all people, all, A-L-L, regardless of your race. And I think race is an artificial thing. And sometimes we can't even determine by appearance the race of a person. And it's with the definition that white people have used. At one time, a Frenchman came from France. Didn't have to do with the race of that person. It was the origin of that person, where the person came from, where they had developed their habits, their learning, their entire being was enclosed in the origin of where they came from. Started when it comes to Africa. We look at the pyramids, and we're still debating how were they built. There's so many other things that have taken place on the continent of Africa with African people that are not shared. There is evidence of many things taking place there, but we disregard them. And we don't look for them because we've never been taught to look for them. And so one of the unfortunate things is that black people don't know who they are. They've never been taught because from the beginning, the educational system has been controlled by someone else. And it's time that we learn, it's time that everyone learn. There is a force to be reckoned with. All team members, when we look at teams, whether it's a football, basketball, or whatever kind of team, we have work teams at we have teams at work. We have teams at play. We have teams in almost everything we do. Those teams that come out on top are the ones that get the most out of their players. That get the most out of their players. And how do you do that? You do that by encouraging them. And in this country, we have done a miserable job of doing that. And so let's go back to the Ishango bone, discovered by archaeologists who were looking down, not up. We often look at the sky, and there are amazing things that have taken place with the sky. And we'll talk about some of those in a few minutes. Found a bone that is probably more than likely the thigh bone of a baboon. And there are etch marks on it. And they are not random, but they are orderly marks. Now, we are able to go back, look at languages, and make discoveries because we have the best scientists possible looking at these things, trying to decipher them. We learned a lot about languages with the Rosetta Stone. The Rosetta Stone had information in more than one language on it. And by knowing and knowing a little bit of something else, we have been able to put together many of the languages. We can translate what was written thousands of years ago. Amazing. Because we put some of the best people we had on the project. And what they did is discovered that there was meaning to these marks on this bone. Now, when we look at Egypt, we're talking about 3,000-5,000 years ago, long time ago. When we talk about 18,000 to 20,000 years ago and people having an understanding of mathematics, and it wasn't the mathematics of today, we use a base of 10. They used a base of 12. Now, this has come up before. Now, when we look at the Olmecs out of central Mexico, that more than likely have African roots because of the physical appearance of those people. How do we know that physical appearance? Because they made stone head carvings over 10 feet tall, some of them weighing 50 tons, that they moved great distances. We don't even know how they did that. And so we're saying that these people are lack intelligence, lack motivation, everything, and the facts fly in the face of that. Some people used a vagismal system. What is a vagismal system, you may ask? Excuse me, please. It is a base of 20. A base of 20. And they made amazing calculations. And so we see that there has been civilization on this planet. It's just how much do we expose? How much do we let know? The calendar was very complicated. And it was a two-part calendar for each year. And when everybody was in a panic in 2012 about the end of the world, it was because that was the end of their calendar, which was the end of an elongated period. I believe it was approximately 57,000 years that that particular cycle ended. They had not put together another one. Now, I have a friend in Ethiopia, and he tells me about that calendar, which is a two-part calendar as well. How is that possible? Now, these people made some astronomical observations of the skies. They knew some things that we are still trying to figure out today. And this is 2023. We're still trying to figure it out. How did they know this? But we see evidence of it there. So 18,000 to 20,000 years ago, these people had an understanding of mathematics. Mathematics has been termed the queen of all the sciences because science is based on that. Now, I thought that the only science there was natural science. I find that science is organization of information and can cover a wide variety of subjects. But it started there, as far as we know. It started in Africa. And so in dating these bones, we look back and we make our determinations based on what we know scientifically. Now, there are people that believe that the world is much, much younger than that. And we're not going into that debate at this point. But there are people that feel that it is much younger. But I, as a scientist, cannot completely accept that because I understand the aging process. And we often use carbon 14 as a marker. There are other markers as well. And when they line up, I have a tendency to believe that information until it's proven wrong. I try to keep an open mind. I go into research when I'm looking at something. I understand that there are at least two sides, possibly more, to every story that comes out. And we have to decide ourselves and others if this is so. Now let me give you that number again, because later in the program, not that much later, excuse me, we have people that have called in. We will allow them to speak. Now last week I made a glaring error. What I did not realize is that my internet was acting up. The screen had not refreshed. I did not see some callers that were on the line at the time that I signed off because my screen had not refreshed, and so I did not see those callers. And so I closed out without giving them the opportunity. But again, if you're listening, God bless you. If you want to interact, the number to call is 646-668-8217. Again, 646-668-8217 is the number to call in. It's not necessary to call in, but I do want you to share the link that you have used. Share it with others. Also, share with others the website we speak from. It is amazingblackhistory.com. We post on Thursdays, every Thursday. We have posted a new post, the exception of February and March. And these are two recent advantages. In February, in honor of Black History Month, we post daily. And we talk about some aspect of what has taken place. This year, we talked about race riots and massacres. And most people aren't aware what the difficulty it was in establishing society as we hoped that it would be. Because many of the people that fought in the Civil War were fighting for the ability to own slaves, fighting for that ability to own slaves, because slaves were vastly important to those people that wanted to gain financially. We find that a small number of people, less than 2%, a greater part of 1%, were owners of at least 100 or more slaves. They were responsible for more than half of the gross national product of the entire country of America as we know it. This 1% was. And what they did is they had to preserve their institution. And they did so in some of the cruelest methods possible. And they overlooked one of the greatest treasures that we have on this planet, and that is the value of human worth. They overlooked it. They saw only to enhance their richness, the process called greed. We look at people, and we sometimes think, well, what about the people that were here? Let me tell you about a lady you don't know about. We are great at mathematics. We know about Katherine Johnson. Katherine Johnson was one of the primary figures in Hidden Figures. And why is that story known? Because the author of that book knew these people. They worked at Langley in Virginia in the space program. And they were primarily responsible for doing the calculations. This is before the days of the computer. And when John Glenn was selected to go into space, he would not go based on the numbers of the computer. He said, have the girls check the numbers. This was somewhat derogatory in that he was referring to the black women because they were human computers. And if they don't agree with the numbers, he wasn't going. That shows you the importance of what we have. But let me tell you about another person, Ray Montague. Ray is a woman. She spells her name R-A-Y-E. That may have had some influence on her success because people thought it was just a It was a man with a funny way of spelling his name. Not expecting a woman, let alone a black woman. But she was exposed to the fact of seeing a German submarine captured during World War II, was able to look down the periscope and see inside and saw all these dials and figures and whatever and asked, what do you have to do in order to operate this thing? And was told to be an engineer. She made great grades in school, in high school. But in Arkansas, there were no colleges that taught engineering. None. This shows the extent that we went to make sure that we didn't offer the most demanding classes of these people. She got a degree in business. She did further research, found that the best possible way of getting do what she wanted to do was to be a civilian worker for the Navy. She moved to Washington, D.C. She had difficulty trying to take classes in computer engineering, but she was finally able to do so. She had to change shifts. She had to work night shifts so that she could go to school in the daytime. They didn't even make it convenient. She purchased a car. She went to work an hour early because she didn't know how to drive. And it later turned out to her advantage because she had the nerve to drive onto the Navy base without a driver's license. She did it, and she learned computers. At one time, it was taking a crew of white male engineers 2 years to design a ship. 2 years to design a ship. The president said, no, got to do it in 2 months. And I mean, they were in a panic. How can you take it from 2 years to 2 months to design an entire ship? But she used her computer knowledge. And finally, that mission was turned over to her, a single person. But she had been working computers and had programmed a computer. And do you know how long it took her to design her first ship? Now, remember, it's gone from 2 years for a team of engineers to a demand to make it 2 months. From the time she pushed the button until that ship was completed was 18 hours and 36 minutes. And now you're going to perpetuate the story that we don't have the intelligence to do that? She talks about being in San Diego and being able to look out into the harbor and see entire fleets that she has designed. This is some of the story of what has happened to perpetuate the myth that we're incapable. And the bad part about it is many of us have bought this junk. I can't say what I want to say, but many of us have fallen into this belief. We see it in very subtle ways. We see it in our schools. We see it on our jobs. When we look back at Katherine Johnson, they redacted much of what she needed to do her work. She did it. She basically unredacted it and developed something. But when you watch the movie, what happens when she presents the solution to the problem that that entire crew was working on? They tossed it in the garbage can. They didn't look at it. They didn't even try to make sense out of it. They threw it away. Now, this shows the utter contempt that educated people had for the abilities of others. It would have been one thing to look at it and say, no, don't think this would work because of this, that, or the other. That wasn't the case. It was right. Many of you are probably driving along in your automobile and maybe using a GPS system because they're available on our phones. They're available everywhere we go. We used to have maps and had to unfold them, and they were big enough to fill up the front seat of a car. And we had to twist the map, and we had to fold it so that we could see what part of the map we were on. Now that's not even necessary. We can have these devices in our car that tells us basically every road as we're traveling. We can get information in real time. There's an accident up ahead. Turn off here. Turn off there. Where did that come from in the first place? It came from Dr. Gladys West, a black female mathematician who developed the GPS. Many of us are listening on devices, and that's VOIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol. And that was developed by, her name is escaping me at the time, but she is a vice president at Google, who developed over 200, who holds over 200 patents on VOIP, which makes this, Zoom, and other programs possible. A black woman. Yes, women have been remarkable in this area. And when we don't allow and encourage the best out of everybody that we've got, we're failing. We're failing. We have young girls, young boys of all races. I'm not just doing this to talk about one particular ethnic group or one particular race. I want all of our people to have the advantages. I know that one of these days, Alzheimer's is going to be cured, and it's a devastating disease. The old folks haven't come up with the cure yet. It's going to be these young people. We must encourage our youth. And to those of you that are listening, I'm talking to you. When you go to school, do what you have to do before you do what you want to do. Stay on top of your classes. When you are out of school or even in school and have that study period, study. Get done what is fresh in your mind. Then you don't have the panic the next day. I don't have my assignment done. This is a secret of success that will benefit you throughout your life. And it's not just for young people, it's for older people too. We often do that. We come home, we've got to watch our story, whatever we've got to do on TV. We have the technology that we can record it. In fact, when you are using a wireless remote, that was invented by a black man. A black man who had difficulties early in his educational career. He had to repeat 3 different grades. And so basically he aged out of the educational system, but we went into the military and took advantage of everything that he could there. There's no such thing as failure unless you stop before you finish. Keep going. Keep going. There are so many people. I have my remote with handy right now, and I'm thankful for it. I didn't realize that a black man had invented it. I didn't realize the difficulties that he had gone through. Some of us go to school, and what we hear is that you're not capable. You can't do this. One of the greatest minds of our time is a guy by the name of Malcolm Little, who grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, and said that he wanted to be an attorney. They said, no, you must be a carpenter because black people aren't attorneys. And that man is Malcolm X. He got rid of his, what he calls his slave name, and put an X. Malcolm X was a brilliant man, but was discouraged from going into law. As we do this and you look at AmazingBlackHistory.com. Please go there. I have over 300 posts and counting, and we post every Thursday. And many of the stories that we talk about are posted there on Thursday. We talk about them on Sunday. When we look at Alexa Kennedy, for example, she was discouraged at every step of the way. And she went into medicine despite people saying, no, women don't go into medicine. Black people don't go into medicine. They don't because there were schools that never let them in. And yet she became successful at it. And when she went into neurosurgery, which is working on the brain, the nervous system, they said, no, you can't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. She knew that she could do it. When she decided to specialize in pediatrics, that's dealing with young people, basically anybody under 21 years of age. So she's dealing with infants, and she's doing surgery on the brain and the nervous system, which gives them the freedom of life and to live it more abundantly. Alexa Kennedy stood tall and developed skills that are being pursued even today. When we look at many of our members in society today that have undergone cataract surgery, thank you, Patricia Bann, and I thank you personally because I've had both eyes operated on for cataracts. Patricia Bath, a black woman, and she developed a machine that makes it so much easier to do today than it was in prior days. It used to be that after the surgery, you had to be on your back for a long period of time. I had mine, and I walked out, and I could see, and I was just so happy and smiling as I went down the road because I could see a whole lot better. They put in a lens, and, man, I didn't have to wear my glasses. But the Ashango bone shows that years and years and years ago, we had that knowledge. When we look at Timbuktu, there's still thousands upon thousands of manuscripts that have never been translated. What language we could have now that we haven't taken advantage of. We have people that have the ability, but they are discouraged from doing it. And we haven't put forth that which is necessary. Now, when we look at people like Ketanji Brown Jackson, for example, the first black female associate judge on the Supreme Court. She was influenced by a woman who shares the same birth month and date, Constance Baker Motley. We don't know about Constance Baker Motley, but Constance Baker Motley wrote the brief for Brown v. Board, which basically overturned Plessy v. Ferguson. And Plessy v. Ferguson was a case that was taken against the advice of Frederick Douglass because it required, and even the businesses, the transportation industries in New Orleans did not want this bill passed because it required separate cars for blacks and whites. And the person making the decision was a conductor. And they want to show how absurd it was for a person to have to make this decision. Homer Plessy looked like a white man, his hair, his eyes, his skin color, everything. He looked so white because one of his eight great-grandparents was black. And under the definition of the one-drop rule or the one-eighth rule or the one-sixteenth rule or whatever was in place at the time, because you could actually be black in one state and white in another. Using these definitions, they had to ask him if he were black. He said yes, and he was arrested. And the Supreme Court came up with a decision that is argued even today is whether it's one of the most stupid decisions the Supreme Court has ever come up with. And that's saying something, seeing what they're doing nowadays. But this gave us Plessy v. Ferguson. But there is hope because the judge, Ferguson, whose name is applied to this case, there is now a Plessy and Ferguson, where the descendants of both of these principal parties have gotten together and are working, hopefully, to eradicate this type of thing. I cannot hold you responsible for slavery. Neither can you, because we weren't here during that time. But white people have carried around a burden because of incomplete history. These 2% have spoiled the lot of everybody, because everybody is afraid to look into their ancestry and find out that they may have had an ancestor who was a slave owner. And they're embarrassed about it. I can understand that. But I don't hold you responsible for that, because you can't go back and undo something that somebody has done. Or can you? When it comes to what your position is, I don't care if one of your ancestors was a slave owner. Carolyn Randall Williams, brilliant woman. I hope that you read some of her works, is a descendant of Edmund Pettus. That name sound familiar? Edmund Pettus is the bridge on which the Selma to Montgomery March was held. There are lots of people who have ancestry that crosses the racial divide. Angela Davis, who was an activist in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and at one time I think was imprisoned. But she just discovered that some of her ancestors came over on the Mayflower. I see Angela Davis, beautiful woman with hair out as wide as her shoulders, proud black woman. And she was shocked to find this information. One of the Maori twins also has descendants that came from the Mayflower. We see this, and we don't understand it. And yet and still, we're willing to put down ourselves and others in the belief that we haven't done anything, that we're incapable of doing anything. And some of the greatest achievements ever made, Leonidas Berry, is the first person to do a kidney transplant between two people that were not identical twins, He didn't do the first kidney transplant, but the first between people who were not identical twins. We're making progress every day. We look at medicine, and we were losing tons and tons of soldiers during World War II because they were dying of shock. They were dying of blood loss on the battlefield until Dr. Charles Drew. Dr. Charles Drew, the blood bank, and saved lives then, and is saving lives now. He was working with the American Red Cross to do this, but he left, because the American Red Cross was insisting that there be two blood banks, separate. When we look at race, Virginia had the racial purity law, I believe, of 1924. And under that law, there were only two races, white or black, white or non-white. Indians are not white. And that is an offensive term to me as well, because they only called Indians because Christopher Columbus didn't know where in the heck he was and thought that he had reached India. These are Native Americans. These are the original owners of this country. And we have reduced the land that they owned down to less than 1% of what they had. And then we talk about treating people fairly, love your neighbor, et cetera. That's not the case. We've seen greed everywhere that we have turned. And as we do this, we don't acknowledge what others have done. Many of the medicines we use come from plants, where we synthesize something that is made naturally in a plant. But we have a definition that says that no plant can cure a disease. So we artificially make it. Think how many lives could be saved if we could get past this stupid notion. Just think how it would happen. It all started with the Ishingo bone, because that is the grouping of scientific knowledge. We had to know things. Ancient people were making order out of chaos, and they did this with time machines, but in a different manner. They needed to know when the vernal and autumn equinoxes were here so that they could plant and do so in the proper times. Native Americans had names for the different moons, and when they come up, and the harvest moon and various other things that came up. We don't give credit to them because we think that everything that we are doing is the greatest that there has ever been. But ancient people knew a lot, and we see this. We see this with the Ishingo bone. Well before we acknowledge even earliest forms of civilization, we had it there on the continent of Africa. That Ishingo bone. Read that post. Now, what I try to do is I try to give you a summary, a written summary, but I try to go further. I try to give you videos so that you can explore that side of your learning. Everybody doesn't learn the same. And there are books for those who want to delve deeper into a subject. This is not just for one race, one gender, ethnicity, one religion. This is for everybody, because we all stand on the shoulders of other people in one way or another. We should no longer feel that we can't do this. We have to be able to do this. It is important. Now, let me give you that number again, because I'm going to open this up shortly. I don't have anybody on my dashboard at the present time, and I hope it's not like it was last week when my screen didn't refresh. It appears as if it does, because my chronological indicator here seems to be working well. But that number is 646-668-17. When you come on, the mic will not be open for you. I have to do that manually, and that's why the phone number versus the device. Some of you are listening on a phone, but if you're listening through an internet connection that's not on the phone, on the phone means calling in, calling that number. You don't miss a thing, but it allows me to acknowledge you and give you that recognition. But we look at people like Ray Montague. We look at people like Katherine Johnson. We look at people like Mary Jackson. Now, who is Mary Jackson? Mary Jackson was one of the women that worked at Langley. Langley is in Virginia. It's where the space program got its early, early start. These women were great in mathematics. In order to advance, they had to take extraordinary steps to get advanced degrees where they did, and often involved great sacrifice, but they were willing to do it because they believed in themselves. We can't go through our history and expect the best and not expect to offer the best opportunities for everyone. Everyone doesn't have to go to college. There are many, many skills that a person can acquire. We have skilled crafts, electricians, carpenters, plumbers, steam fitters, every other thing that you can do. And they're not always male dominated, or they're probably male dominated, but they're not out of reach of women. I worked with a lady, didn't work with her, we were in the same Toastmasters club. She had previously been in the Navy and was an electrical engineer. We often don't think of that. We would look past people thinking that they aren't able to do this when they are. We don't give credit where credit is due. We don't give the opportunities where we should. We see young kids come to school, and they can sing the words to the latest song out, sometimes a song that we don't want them to know. And we basically curse the entire system. What we don't realize is that we have failed those students. We have failed those students. How? Because we know how they learn. We know, no matter what your age is, that you can go back and remember songs that you sang, songs that had a message, but we can't pick up on it today. I'm almost 80 years old, and yet I can remember songs that I learned before the age of 5, and they taught me things. They taught me good things. We dumb to realize it because we have fit into a mold, and we need to understand how to shatter those molds, how to shatter those ceilings, those glass ceilings or whatever else they are made of, because it does not happen. We have a tendency to dream too small. To those of you that are in the area of South Carolina, I invite you to join me on May 31st. At the Spartanburg County Library in downtown Spartanburg. And I'll be talking about women, black women in the military. And we're going to go back from the Revolutionary War to today. And I want you to understand that as I look at these remarkable women, some of them dared to dream. Is what separates us from the animals. We can dream, we can plan, we can do. This is why order out of chaos is what early people were doing. They were setting up the systems of organized knowledge. And this is what we use today. And I want you to be there. As I look at the women that are there, whether we're talking about Shirley Pius, who is from Spartanburg, South Carolina. She was not a military woman, but she was the first captain for United Airlines. Yes, a black woman, and I know her relatives. But we see people that are flying with the Blue Angels, the Thunderbirds, black women. You know why we didn't have black pilots? Well, we actually did have a black pilot in World War One. By the name of Eugene Boulard, from the state of Georgia. But he did not fight for the American forces. He fought for the French. He hopped a ship out of Norfolk, Virginia, across the ocean, and he learned German on his way over because it was a German freighter. He made his way to England, and from England he made it to France, and he fought for the French. He fought in the infantry, wounded twice, second time so bad he couldn't return to the infantry. So he said, make me a pilot. They made him a pilot, and he shot down enemy planes. The reason that America didn't have black pilots in World War One, they said that we weren't smart enough to read the dials on the plane and react. In other words, you're stupid. But what do we have in Tuskegee Airmen, World War II? Now, any white airman could join the Air Corps. But if you were black, you had to have a college degree. But they never lost a plane that they escorted. Did some of them die? Yes, many of them did. But they were following the orders and the necessary things. They didn't try to make individual heroes out of themselves. We needed for those positions But when they came home, the best flyers in the world, they couldn't get jobs because somebody said somebody might not want a black pilot. You own the airplane. You own the way of getting from here to there. And somebody is going to say, no, I don't want him for the pilot. Okay. Right now, I want you to look at, I have a fan, I guess it's called a fan page on Facebook. It's called Amazing Black History. And the airlines are falling thousands upon thousands of people behind for pilot positions. Excellent opportunity for men, women, people of color in this occupation. They're making it much, much easier. And we got into this position because we excluded so many people. The first female to have an international pilot's license was Bessie Coleman, a black woman from Texas. And she had to go to France to learn to fly because nobody in America would teach her to fly. She had to learn French. And she was great, and she was barnstorming and was killed in a freak accident. We have Willa Brown, the first woman to hold both a mechanic's license and a pilot's license, a black female. And yet and still we perpetuate in the myths. Blacks are incapable. No, we showed the world. We taught the world mathematics. Try doing calculus in Roman numerals. We developed the zero. We did so much in the area of mathematics that it's not funny. And yet and still, we are oftentimes put out. Davidson College in North Carolina has recently acknowledged the fact that they owe most of their success to slaves because they utilized them and they sold them. Georgetown University is prosperous today because they sold 272 slaves down south to keep their doors open. Princeton, Belinda Sutton, was granted her freedom and a pension, but those people kept her pension that her owner had given her and started Princeton Law School, Harvard Law School, excuse me. We are everywhere. All we wanted was an opportunity. And you make it sound like all we're looking for is a handout. We're not looking for handouts. We're looking for opportunities. We're looking for the chance to demonstrate what we've done. But we have damaged people to the point that many of them don't believe in themselves. That's where everybody needs to step forward. People are afraid of black history, afraid of what they will learn, and most of them don't know enough about it to fill a thimble. And they don't want to learn because learning requires change. It requires change. It requires advancing. Now, we've got about 20 minutes left in the program. I'm going to give that number again. I don't have anybody on cue, but that number is 646-668-8217. Disagree with me? Agree with me. Have questions? And don't be like I did in church. I'd go to church and I'd have questions. And I didn't ask them because I didn't want people to think I didn't know everything that there was to know. This gets us in trouble, folks. We think we know everything. We try to come in and solve the, quote, black problem and don't know a darn thing about what we're trying to do. We don't ask the people that are affected. We don't give them what's affected. We had schools, and the reason that we had the integration of schools is because the white kids were getting from 2 to 10 times as much for their education as black kids were. That's what was being spent on them. And the fact that anybody came out of a system like that, oftentimes hand-me-down books, oftentimes with rude racial comments in them, books were given to the white kids. The best equipment was given to the white kids. The best schools were given to the white kids. And when we look at Linda Brown, who had to, at the age of 6, walk past a white school, and in the early morning dark had to walk across an active hump yard, a railroad switching yard, with trains coming in both directions, and catch a bus and ride a mile to her school, that's where the push came. There are actually 5 cases folded up in it. Linda Brown was named, it was Brown versus Board because of her father, a military veteran who had fought for this country. There were 5 cases folded into it. The case from South Carolina, Briggs v. Elliott, Briggs v. Elliott, I believe it was, developed because Charles Hamilton Houston was a techie of his day. And he took pictures of white schools and of the black schools. And it was possible to sit inside of a black school and look to the outside without looking out a door or a window. Barbara Rose Johns, there's a book about her called The Tar Paper Schools. The schools were so bad in Virginia that she led a student protest. And the schools were so raggedy that it wasn't funny. In fact, I believe it was Prince George County, went 5 years without school for anybody rather than integrate the schools. That shows you how deep the hatred is. Why? Was it because these people couldn't learn? No. It was just because of the past, the misunderstanding and the intentional misunderstanding of who and what we were. I don't see any people on cue, and I'll take that as my cue. Let me make sure and refresh this page. There appears to be none. But I encourage you to call in. I encourage you to contact us. I just responded to a person today that was had a question about a post that I wrote about Wentworth Cheswell in the American Revolutionary War. And he rode the same night as Paul Revere. Paul Revere went west. He went north. The reinforcements that saved our bacon came from the north. And so we do this. We overlook great contributors. And Cheswell was not the only one that rode. There was a young 16-year-old girl, white girl, that rode. And she doesn't get the notoriety that she deserves either. These are heroes that we overlook. Her, because she is a girl, a female, but a hero none the same. A hero. We need to get to the point where we reflect on people as human beings. Different, but all the same. Different, but all the same. Supporting a cause. Since we don't have any others, I will let you go, but I encourage you to read AmazingBlackHistory.com. There are, if you click on blog list, you'll see over 300 posts, and they are counting because we will post again on Thursday. We'll meet here Sunday and talk about that and other subjects, any and all, are open for discussion because they enlighten me as well as you. And this is what knowledge is all about. It's about enlightenment. It's about sharing of knowledge. And one day we will cure Alzheimer's. We'll cure other things that take place. Artemis II is going to make giant steps, and it has a woman and a person of color in the crew. There are those of you that think the first black person in space was an American. Think again, my friends. Think again. It was a cosmonaut, human being into space. A Soviet rocket with a scientist from Cuba, the first black person into space. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Canada has a $10 bill with a black woman on it because, and it's a fascinating story, read the story of Viola Desmond. It's on AmazingBlackHistory.com. We have so much distance to travel in so little time. Let's take advantage of our time. Let's move forward. Let's take progress. Let's make progress. Let's all benefit from it. Please share the site. Please share the broadcast with others. It is information that propels all of us to greater heights. This is what we're dedicated to. This is why we want to hear from you. You have questions. We have answers. If we don't have answers, we can all look for the solution to the problem. Some of you have knowledge that I have no idea of. Some of us have family members. In fact, I talked with a lady today that is a great-great niece of Freddie Stowers. And you ask, who is Freddie Stowers? Freddie Stowers is from Sandy Springs, South Carolina, down in Anderson County. The first black soldier to get the Medal of Honor in World War I. I grew up 70 miles from there and never knew a word about him until I met these people. They had been to the White House, and that medal had been bestowed posthumously on him by President Bush. I never knew anything about it. I was angry. I was mad. I felt cheated that I hadn't even been taught my own history. And it's not mine. It's ours. America is based on its diversity and being able to get everything out of its people. When we look at the Statue of Liberty and it says, give us your poor, your tired, your whatever, and we will make them great. The line above it says, you keep the best that you got. You send us the rest, and we'll do our job. And the only way that we do that job is that we encourage all. We benefit from all. All benefit from that. It's been my pleasure to be with you. My name is John C. Abercrombie. The program that you're listening to is Did You Know? Let us share this, share others. There is an archive on the site. Refer to it. Refer to Amazing Black History. And we will see you again next week. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.